There we go. So here's our first entry for the Book of Kings, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 to 9. The title is, "The Lord Lives, that has redeemed my soul out of all distress." And these nine verses really set the pace for the book, giving us a very good view of the old man and the new man, which we know that's what the Bible's about. All of the stories really come down to that theme throughout, if God will give us to see that. And so we read it with that in mind, and thank God for this opportunity again. I'll read the first nine verses. "Now King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, and he got no heat. Wherefore his servant said unto him, Let there be sought for my lord the king a young virgin, and let her stand before the king, and let her cherish him, and let her lie in thy bosom, that my lord the king may get heat. So they sought for a fair damsel throughout all the coasts of Israel, and found Abishag a Shunammite, and brought her to the king. And the damsel was very fair, and cherished the king, and ministered to him, but the king knew her not. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen, and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not displeased him at any time, in saying, Why have you done so? And he also was a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom." Speaking of Adonijah. "And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar the priest, and they following Adonijah helped him. But Zadok the priest, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan the prophet, and Shimei, and Rei, and the mighty men which belonged to David were not with Adonijah. And Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zoheleth, which is by Enrogel, and called all his brethren the king's sons, and all the men of Judah the king's servants." The title in this first chapter of Kings is taken from the words of King David in 1 Kings 1:29, which precedes the declaration from him that Solomon would reign after him. A spoiler alert, right? And it reminds us that in order for us to reign over our flesh, enduring to the end, we must serve the God of all comfort, who will redeem our soul out of all distress. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 to 5. "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds by Christ." Those verses really help us understand what we are doing as the body of Christ and how we are filling up what's behind of the afflictions of Christ for each other. And of course, nothing's lost, and every trial we go through is not just for our own growth, but it is also for each other. So there's great comfort in knowing that our pain, our suffering is not in vain. God has a purpose for all of it. King David was shown great mercy from God, being delivered from all distress, as he typifies the elect. Whereas we will see no such mercy being extended to Adonijah, who represents our fleshly carnal mind that must be recognized for what it is and then destroyed. Even so, Romans 11:31-32, "Have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy?" Speaking of the rest of the world and even that part of us that is still in unbelief that's coming out, you could look at it that way inwardly. "For God has concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all." This opening story in the Book of Kings sets the stage for how God will comfort us through this life of much tribulation, so that we can enter by the door into the sheepfold and not come in some other way. Acts 14:22, "confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And as we read, as we go through that much tribulation, there will be comfort. And that comfort will be provided by each joint that supplies through the body of Christ. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So here's the first section. Now, King David was old, stricken in years. They covered him with clothes, but he got no heat. Wherefore, his servant said unto him, let there be sought for my lord, the king, a young virgin. Let her stand before the king. Let her cherish him. Let her lie in thy bosom, that the Lord thy king may get heed. So they sought out a fair damsel throughout all the coasts of Israel, and found Abishag the Shunammite, and brought her to the king. And the damsel was very fair, and cherished the king, and ministered to him, but the king knew her not. The symbolism of not getting any heat in our bodies is written here for Christ's body as an admonition to remember that two are better than one, and that there is safety in the multitude of counselors. We come together often to receive and give encouragement to one another, which is what King David was in need of. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falls, for he has not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. We talked about that cord being symbolic, really, the threefold, the process that judgment upon the house of God, Christ making that cord, going into the temple, driving the beasts out, that takes energy. That's a form of heat too. So judgment and correction is part of that process that actually brings heat. It brings healing, though. After we go through those fiery trials, if God is working with us, those things change us and for the better. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. None of this can happen if we are not given to do that, to realize and to heed these admonitions that God's given the body of Christ. As the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. A young virgin then is sought for my Lord the King, who represents the bride of Christ, who is likened unto a spiritual virgin, who has the power to be a joint that supplies true spiritual heat. Revelation 14:4. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. So that's how God sees us. He sees us through Christ. He sees the finished product. He declares the end from the beginning, and he calls us virgins, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working, that's that spiritual heat, in the measure of every part is important, makes increase of the body and to the edifying of itself in love. I have to put a heating pad on my lungs because at night I'll wake up with a cold almost every time. So one part of my body needs that heat. And that's very symbolic for me because we don't know who we're affecting or how we're helping each other. We just know that God has fit the body together, framed us together, and we need each other. We were made that way, vulnerable, but that's a blessed place to be, to know that we need the body of Christ. We need each other. Garments represent the grace and faith that God gives those with whom he is working with in this age. This story of Abishag is about the love that we have toward each other as we learn to bear each other's burdens in flesh that is unable to inherit the kingdom of God. Genesis 45:22, to all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin, who is a type of the elect, he gave 300 pieces of silver, that's that process of repentance, and five changes of raiment, that's grace, which we talked about earlier, that cleanses us and teaches us to forsake ungodliness and worldly lusts. Her name means, my father is a wanderer. And in the positive, this means that her father is Christ, who was a sojourner, a wanderer, who would be used to clothe us with his righteousness. Being stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he got no heat, tells us just that our own works will not produce spiritual heat. But when God shows mercy to us by giving us the power to lay down our lives for each other, then we receive this comfort that the Lord gives to redeem my soul out of all distress. Matthew 8, verses 20 to 22. Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere, not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. There's many ways to look at that, but if you look at it as your old man, you know, we don't, when we understand what God has done for us, when we're called, our past is our past. It's buried. It's dead. Those who are not called and chosen of the Lord, they're still trying to reconcile their past. We don't have to. We've been forgiven. We forget what's behind us and press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ. So that's what it means to, why he's saying, you don't have to bury your father. That's been already been done. Follow me and let the dead bury their dead. Jesus answered in John 18:36, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew not sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. John 15, verses 12 and 13. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. So just quickly, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. The spiritual meaning there, again, if we look at it inwardly, he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. But the outward Jew is the Jew that we're being delivered from, our flesh, the law. The inward Jew is Jesus Christ. And of course, that's the kingdom that's within us now. That's the Jew that we've become, the spiritual Jew. Wherefore his servant said unto him, let there be sought for my Lord the King a young virgin, is another way of saying, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. And the quality is that God will mature in those who are dragged or compelled to come to Christ are described for us as such. Let there be sought for my Lord, the King, a young virgin, like we read in Revelation, and let her stand, and we'll have a look at that word, before the King, and let her cherish. These are the qualities, standing and cherishing, and let her lie in thy bosom, that my Lord the King may get heat. We receive spiritual heat from one another when we remain chaste in this world. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And John 8:31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Lying in thy bosom is also typical of the elect's love for Christ and each other, and is symbolic of how we take each other under our wing if we are his. That word stand, as you can see, that's the word abide, continue, endure. And that's why we read what we read in John. If you abide in the word, God promises to finish that work within those who who are blessed to read, hear, and keep the sayings and abide in that word, which is sanctifying us and cleansing us. John 13:23, in regard to the bosom, but now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved, speaking of John, who's a type of the elect there. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that kill the prophets and stone them which are sent unto you, how often would I have gathered your children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Exodus 25:20, and the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. So the imagery there is so powerful. We will see him as he is, face to face. But we see Christ in each other right now. That's what Christ said to Philip, have I been so long with you and you ask me to show you the Father? We see Christ. We don't know each other after the flesh because our hearts and minds are set for seeking the kingdom first and his righteousness, which is Christ's righteousness in each of us. And that's what we look for and we long for, because we know that that's what's going to bring healing. That's what it means to come under those wings. We are those wings of that mercy seat. So they sought for a fair damsel throughout all the coasts of Israel and found Abishag, a Shunammite, and brought her to the king. Reminds us that God has sought the few out of the world. Those few represent the lost sheep of the house of Israel, which is who Abishag, a Shunammite, typifies. On the negative side, we talked about the wanderer there. This first name also reminds us that we are ever searching and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth because of the deception in our hearts caused by the devil. This also is Abishag, my father is a wanderer, who goes to and fro throughout all the earth as our father who causes us to wander, as our first father who causes us to wander until we are delivered from him and given a double resting place, that's the Shunammite, or double portion, which is what we inherit in Christ as first fruits who rest in the Lord. For many are called, but few are chosen, Matthew 22:14. In whom the God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4, has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And Job 1:7, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down in it. Matthew 10:6, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Hebrews 11:4-13, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, thinking of that within. And as we have that hunger and thirst, this is what God promises us. There's nothing that his word can't bring to destroy within us that needs to be destroyed. Any creature that's within us. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. But we have to labor. We have to realize that that word is there, and it's a miraculous thing. And he promises as we labor in that word, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So he tells us, labor for the meat which does not perish, because that meat is what's going to cleanse us and make the bride ready. Damsel's comeliness is a shadow of the beauty of Christ within those who are being made to be vessels of honor. Those who have God's Spirit in them have this treasure in earthen vessels, and as such are this damsel, or the church, or the body of Christ, that is very fair. We are passing from death to life because of God's Spirit and can now cherish the King and minister to him without having to know him after the flesh. But the king knew her not. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meat for the masters used and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. So that's a real description of a priest there, of a king and a priest, knowing how to instruct, how to be patient, bearing the infirmity, but knowing that you're working with that person, bringing them unto repentance, covering a multitude of sins. And that's what the body of Christ is always doing. We're trying to cover each other's sins, help each other to mature and grow. How beautiful, Isaiah 52:7. Upon the mountains are the feet of him that brings good tidings, that publishes peace, that brings good tidings of good, that publishes salvation, that saith unto Zion that God reigns. In Colossians 1:24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind in the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. 2 Corinthians 5:16, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. 1 Kings 1:5, then Adonijah, the son, this is sort of like the second section here, part two, introducing Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king, and he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run after him. Right after we learn of Abishag Ashumanite, God contrasts this damsel who represents the body of Christ with Adonijah, who is a type of our carnal old man that constantly wants to exalt itself rather than dying daily as we keep under ourselves and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So that's the lifelong endeavor that God has called us unto and that he says he will finish through Jesus Christ. That's our good fight of faith that we're called unto. I protest by your rejoicings which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord, I die daily. 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep under my body, keep under your body. We just read the body of Christ is our body. We are one body. We keep under that body. We're subject unto that body and bring it into subjection. And yes, your own body personally too. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's bringing your body into subjection. And that's a process that takes time, but that's why we confess our faults. That's why we go to each other. We encourage each other. And we're going through this. The Lord is dragging us to comfort one another, giving us trials, working it all, working all of that miraculous process of building the body of Christ, building the temple for our sakes, but for the world's sake, so that we can show that same mercy to everyone else one day. Preparing him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him is akin to doing your alms as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. Pardon me. Therefore, when you do your alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward, which is what he was doing. Adonijah was exalting himself right from the start. Chariots and horsemen represent our fleshly ruach, or strength, that blows those trumpets of Matthew 6:2. There is a form of power or godliness there, but it passes. And the reward for all such vanity is received by those and us in our time who have the same mindset for this vain glory. The 50 men to run before him represent a false witness of grace that is again founded in the strength of men that God has no pleasure in. 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. 1 John 4:5, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. They have their reward in that communication that they have with the world. Psalms 27, some trust in chariots and some in horses, as it says, chariots and horsemen in this verse, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Psalms 147, verses 10 and 11, he delights not in the strength of the horse. He takes not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in them that fear him. Luke 12, 5. But I will forewarn you, Christ's own words, whom you shall fear. Fear him, which after he hath killed has power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. So when we die daily, that's what Christ is telling us. Now, you're dying daily now. Let your life, now that you're lying dead in the street, be that living witness. Live by the faith of the Son of God. Know that that's what God is doing. If he's giving you trials and he's humbling you, his power is resting upon you, it's because you're living by the faith of Christ. So the Lord takes pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Adonijah's name means, my Lord is Jehovah. And that name turns out to be a witness against him in the end. Seeing his Lord proves to be his own belly or earthly desires. We also would be easily sifted like wheat, except for the grace and faith of Christ that causes us to overcome our self-righteous flesh that would naturally be amongst the many that say, Lord, Lord, but don't do the things that God asks. What good is our sacrifice of praise if it is not accompanied with obedience? This is what Samuel was inspired to ask Saul, who represents our flesh. Matthew 7, 21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, Adonijah's name means, my Lord is Jehovah. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So how do we do the will of our Father, which is in heaven? Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works. Now, if you accompany this verse with that question, those questions, and in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread, wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. So that's the problem. There's no acknowledgement that it's Christ doing the work, and it's by extension, it's our works. We're taking credit. We're not glorifying God in that process. 1 Samuel 15:22, and we serve a jealous God. We often go back to that verse. God is a jealous God. God is jealous. He's especially jealous of us. He's looking at us and saying, do you understand that everything that everyone does is caused by me? That makes us very connected, united through that understanding. But that's a process too, because that's not where we came from. We came from our former conversation, which was exalting the self and being found with our own righteousness. That's where we all start. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, that self-righteousness. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So that's the right way to praise. But this praise, there is a false praise. There's a praise where it's not exalting God, it's exalting self. It's drawing attention like Adonijah was doing. 1 Kings 1:6, and his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why have you done so? And he also was a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom. Adonijah represents us when we are of our father, the devil, and are being influenced by whom we know biblically represents our carnal old man that must be put off. John 8:44, you are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Those are all the attributes that God had us come to see and recognize were in each one of us. But by the grace of God, we realize that and come out of that and become that new man. So he says in Ephesians that you put off concerning that former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife. The wife is the church, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind in the afflictions of Christ, and my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. And they too shall be one flesh. That's the new man that's being formed in the church, created in righteousness and true holiness. God's elect, who are blessed to cleave unto Christ in each other, which is how we cleave unto Christ our head. Be you followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. The devil gives power unto the beast, where we start, and where we pray we will finish. So this is where we start. The devil gives power unto the beast, and they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And where we finish, God willing, these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God, unto the Lamb. So the devil gives power unto the beast, and Adonijah's father, David, his absence of influence toward his son is expressed this way. His father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why have you done so? Which is also said this way in the BBE. Now all his life, his father had never gone against him or said to him, why have you done so? So because of that lack of leadership from his father, his son was left to his own devices, which is what empowered him or gave power to the beast. The rod and reproof gave wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. There was no rod of rebuke for Adonijah, who we learn was a good-looking man. And as this story unfolds, we will see how he tries to charm his way into getting what he wanted in life, not fearing the king. Fair looks are a deceit, and a beautiful form is of no value. But a woman, think of the church, who has the fear of the Lord, is to be praised. There is no Jew or Greek, servant or free, male or female, because you are all one in Jesus Christ. Just to show, like, this form of beauty is speaking of Christ, and it's not male or female. Christ, there's neither male nor female. So that's that fair woman, that the positive fairness that we want, as opposed to that deceitfulness that comes when there's that vanity there. Absalom's name means my father is peace, and he was physically born before Adonijah, a witness to this verse in Jeremiah 6:14 that speaks of peace when there really can be no peace, when there is no correction and leadership from their father, who we know to be receiving us, God's remnant, through a chastening and scourging process that was not present in the life of Adonijah. Jeremiah 6:14, and they have made little of the wounds of my people, saying, peace, peace, where there is no peace. So it's interesting, not recognizing the communion that we have, the body and blood of Christ, that's making little of the wounds of my people, not recognizing our day of visitation. And that's a miracle to know, oh, the Lord's working with you. Yes, he is. And that means we're being judged. And that's a great blessing. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. That, of course, was not present in the life of Adonijah by his father. Verses 7 and 8, and he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar the priest, and they following Adonijah helped him. But Zadok the priest and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan the prophet, and Shimei and Re, and the mighty men belonged to David, were not with Adonijah. These next verses demonstrate the bad fruit that was produced in Adonijah's life, whose manipulative and charming spirit was going through life saying, "Lord, Lord," while seeking advantage in the flesh with no regard to what God's commands required. Now he is a full-grown beast and ready to take on this conquest of exalting himself above the heavens. And who he confers with in order to accomplish his task is a testimony of how the deceitful and desperately wicked heart in man operates without God's correction in it. Uso, 2 Thessalonians 2:4, speaking of within the man of perdition within us who has to be destroyed by the brightness of Christ's coming, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Isaiah 14:13, "For you have said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be king," just like Adonijah just said. "I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." So he's going to do it all, and that's exactly what he was after. He wanted power, and he wanted to judge, and he wanted to be the one who called the shots. Just like Rehoboam, who sought the counsel of the younger men for advantage, so does Adonijah seek out those whom he knew would follow him and help him. He conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar, the priest, and they following Adonijah helped him. Those whom he did not seek out were Zadok, the priest, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, here I go again, and Nathan the prophet, and Shimei and Re, and the mighty men which belonged to David. These were not with Adonijah. So he picked out a few that he knew would follow him, but steered away from the safety that would have been found in the multitude of counselors. The council of the old men, represented by Zadok, the priest, Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, Nathan the prophet, Shimei, Re, and the mighty men, which belonged to David. To Christ, in other words. 1 Kings 12:6-8, King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived and said, "How do you advise that I may answer this people?" And they spake unto him, saying, "If you will be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever." But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. 1 Kings 1:9, "And Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zoheleth, which is by Enrogel, and called all his brethren the king's sons, and all the men of Judah the king's servants." Adonijah's conferring with those of his choosing was also an action accompanied by this good guy, speak as a fool, who was going to slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zoheleth, which is by Enrogel, and call all of his brethren the king's sons, and all the men of Judah's the king's servants. These events parallel very well with the story of King Saul. This is the same story, but in a different age, where God took the kingdom away from Saul, who had that same spirit of Adonijah, that is like all flesh that is always seeking the upper seat and looking to be fast friends with anyone that would support him in his perverse endeavor. Luke 23:12, "And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends," fast friends, "together, for before they were at enmity between themselves and their endeavor to have Christ destroyed." So here's 1 Samuel, and I know we know this, but it's so instructive. "Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that he have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, oxen, sheep, camel and ass. But Saul and the people spared Agag," verse 9, "but Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the first of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repents me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night, which really says something about Samuel's heart there. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul, come to Carmel. And behold, he set him up a place, and it has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Just like Adonijah saying, called all of his brethren, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants. So there's that spirit of flattery. Samuel said, What means then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen, which I hear? Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites for the people, for the people. And the man said, The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. It was for the people. So it was for the people, spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When you were little in your own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Now, this is the whole point, isn't it? These scriptures are written for our sakes. These are admonitions for us. And these people were sacrificed for us. This is just how important it is that God continues to help us see and realize that this is why we're here. We're being humbled through this process of judgment so that we truly want to take that lower seat and know the benefit and blessing of being God's servants and having the mind of God. Because he resists the proud. But if we are blessed to continue to be worked with, we will be kept humble, and the Lord will bless us. His power will rest upon us, and we'll be able to overcome. The Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. And that's the journey that we're on, to slay everything in the land through Jesus Christ. Wherefore then did you not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoils? And if Christ and did evil in the sight of the Lord. So that's what we do. If Christ is not there, that's exactly what flesh does, and that's the lesson. Will you set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. So we don't want to be that eagle. We want to be that caravan that's been tried and tested through the fire. And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought, notice he's just highlighting the things that he did, but he's not including the whole story. It's a very selective, cherry-picking way of thinking in the negative. And have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. You are of your father. This is how the devil thinks of the devil. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. This is exactly what he was doing, speaking of his own, just saying what he was saying in his flesh, not what God would have had him say if he had been obedient and hearing the voice of the true shepherd. For he is a liar and the father of it. Let not an evil speaker be established in the earth. Evil shall hunt the violent man to overthrow him. But the people, he goes on to say, now this is the other side, Genesis 13:13, and the woman, and the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that you have done? Now the woman is the church. And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. I no accountability at all. And that's what we have to, God willing, we're dragged to God, and we give an accounting now. And we will see this in ourselves. We'll see that hypocrisy in the flesh. Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And that's really at the heart of this whole story right there. Next week, Lord willing, we'll see once again just how the Lord works all things according to the counsel of his own will, and in doing so puts down the rebellion in the land that represents for us the demise of the man of perdition within our own heavens, whose destruction will result in our being found with his righteousness and not our own, as the true King, Jesus Christ, is being established to reign and rule in our hearts and minds in our age today. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Let not an evil speaker be established in the earth. Evil shall hunt the violent man to overthrow him. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted, and the right of the poor. The cause of the afflicted is this: confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. That keeps that old man, keeps us humble, and keeps his power resting upon us. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of God may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. For Christ's sake. So when you're suffering, that's exactly what we said earlier, you're taking these things on for Christ's sake, for the body of Christ, so you can comfort your body through those trials, which I know we know that. Hearken, my beloved brethren, James 2:5, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that love him? So that's the, surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name, the upright shall dwell in thy presence. So that's the poor, the right of the poor in the, that we're talking about there in James 2:5. And that's our study. That's the opening of our Book of Kings. Thank you all for coming out.